Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Financial literacy is something that I take very seriously, only because through various chapters of my life, I'd had to come across the fact that something as arcane as, you know, finances and, you know, the stock market and real estate and investments, or just minding your own personal budget and balance sheet and allocation of your resources and debt and versus, you know, dispensable income, and, you know, just manage your budget and see what, how much money you make. And all those questions are stuff that are not just left up to bankers and, you know, quote unquote adults, but it's something that is within the realm of everybody. If you're just like anything that merits your success, willing to put in the time and effort towards your own individual journey and your own individual path. I say this a lot. And finances are not anything set aside. It's definitely something that more people should pay more attention to. Everybody talks about money. Everybody wants to talk about making more money or managing money better or complaining about not making enough money. But do we, like everything else, whether it's your weight, whether it's your job, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your health, you have to take inventory and take into account your own responsibility into the process of asking yourself, are you doing the necessary steps or even just the basics into ensuring your own personal financial health? And the further we go along in life, we realize that certain things, just a few seeds sown over the, you know, over a very slow and progressive amount of time, will eventually reap some very, very profitable rewards. So that is definitely something that really resonated with me when I started listening to the Two Black Guys with Good Credit podcast. And my next guests, both Mr. Sean Linda, Arlington Forbes, and Dion Nichols, three very interesting individuals who I've been listening to for a good amount of 2 years. I've been faithfully listening to their podcast, which is a gem of a find in terms of both content and energy, in terms of, you know, just empowering people and trying to demystify the sometimes daunting and, you know, a little bit fearful content that is, you know, your own personal finance. It's not in any way like anything you've ever heard, and it's definitely brought on by a team of people who definitely have made it their mission to bring you quality, human, and very accessible information in terms of helping you build your own individual confidence and your own individual wealth, because it's all about building your success over time. These guys were a gem to have over on the podcast, so I'm very grateful for their individual time and availability. It was a certainly extraordinary conversation, and yes, I am fangirling just a little bit, you know, because when you meet people that you've actually been listening to for a good part of 2 years, you can only be grateful and just a little bit, you know, giddy about the exchange. So it's definitely, as always, a terrific exchange, which I'm really proud of, and I definitely hope that you guys will you'll enjoy. So let's not stretch it out any longer. Awaken the Awesome, episode 41, with two black guys with good credit. Here we go.
I really mean this. I'm all about sincerity, and I really want to thank you for your time and availability, guys. So it's really a really big deal for me. What I want to get into, personal story, just so you guys can understand where I'm coming from. A couple of years back, and this is like really personal here, I was in between, let's just say, chapters in my life. I was like trying to decide what I was going to do. Was I staying in Montreal in college? Because the first two semesters wasn't really doing too well. A lot of personal stuff was going on in my life. So that was like, you know, I wasn't really doing well in class. And then I was like at a point where I was trying to decide midway, was I going back to Haiti and try, you know, to restart like, you know, another type of academic thing, all right? And all this to say that in Montreal, I was about like 40-something thousand dollars in debt, in school debt. And I'm in the States staying over with family, and I'm in that limbo stage right now. I was like, okay, what am I doing? I had a couple of weeks off, and I was staying with an aunt in Lafayette, Louisiana. And this is the beauty of and naivete of being young, right? I had nothing to do. I had nothing aside from the debt and a lot of dark clouds in my head. I went to the library one day, and I saw this book called The Automatic Millionaire by this gentleman called David Bach. And I had nothing to do, right? So, okay, what is this about? And then he just basically ran down some different, because I read about the preface. He was on Oprah, and he talked to you about automation and make it automatic, and, you know, how one coffee a day, you know, that little coffee and bagel you have every day just to please yourself can amount to a lot in over the course of 1 year. And this is my initiation to personal finance. And when you hear about these concepts and you think about, you know, when you're young, and you're just trying to have fun, and you're trying to, you know, just like, you know, enjoy your life, you know, just have your little part-time job and just like, you know, just go to the movies. You don't realize that you have it in your hands, this great opportunity to set yourself up for some great financial success. So this is why that really resonated with me when I met Dion, lady with the facts.
Yes.
Talking to me about helming, you know, this terrific financially clean youth, you know, program, and, you know, trying to educate the youth into personal finance, which is why, you know, when she told me that, I saw myself back in that time where, you know, had I known, you know, all this simple information, because this is not dark magic, this is not a dark art. And I was just wondering right off the bat, how did this financially clean venture go about? Sean, if you want to take it up, how did this come about?
Well, trials, tribulations, progression. No. The podcast itself, I mean, well, let's focus on the podcast, because Financially Clean, our nonprofit, started on another avenue. But the podcast really came about, I would go visit that man on the other end of the phone, Arlington. I had a wholesaling business. I was in California, I would say, like once a month. And when I would go there, I would stay by his house, and his rental fee to me was I'd have to have these long, drawn-out conversations with him at night while we walked his dog around the neighborhood. And those numbers, those conversations mostly were finance-based, because we were at the time in our youth where we were trying to buy property, we're trying to invest and just figure out the right direction to go. So Arlington was always somebody that I could throw things at, because he always had a different perspective than I had, we were like the Jekyll and the Hyde. So we would really talk to like 3-4 in the morning, like just about,
oh wow,
things you couldn't even, and we'd bring in, he always had his mystery friends that I still have yet to meet. There's Derek, wow, the broker guy, there's his accountant friend. So he'd wait for me to come back and bring in another perspective from some anonymous guy that I still have yet to meet. And then we would just add to it. So then when I was teaching my nonprofit, and we would always get, you know, like you said, we taught a lot of kids. The teachers and adults would ask us for financial information. And, you know, Dion and I wanted to really make it focused, our program focused on the kids. So we thought of another avenue and outlet which we could teach adults financial literacy. So I came up with the idea, let's do a podcast. One of my friends invited me to a podcast. It was an open mic podcast. And I don't know, I think, you know, I always believe God and you work as a tandem, because he just inspired me. I kind of rushed Dion that same night. I'm like, Dion, let's do a podcast. Then I called Arlington, who is my confident in crime, and he was like, okay, let's do it. We had no experience.
Why'd your voice have to go up like that? Like, I was like, okay.
literally, that's how you sound. And yeah, we kind of put our heads together and tried to come up with a concept that we thought would be good. And I don't know even how we even got into the direction of finance, but we said, let's do what we always do, make it our normal conversation that we'd have and just share it with the world. And that's kind of how that's it began. Amazing. And it kind of took off.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. The Arlington. So you just ran with it. You know, your boy just shows up and say, okay, let's do a podcast. And you're just like, you know, you just, let's just go with it. Like, fine. So how did you receive that idea?
Well, normally, you know, like Sean said, over the years, we've talked about doing many ventures together. And as he said, we're similar. Our goals are similar, but our path is usually different. And so over the years, we've said, no, not the right thing. No, can't do that. No, not doing that. So this time when he called, he called me about it. I said, you know what? Instead of saying no, say yes. So I said, okay. And I at the time had listened to a lot of podcasts, but I really didn't know how they were made. So I just decided, I said, okay, you know, let's do it. And we'll figure it out. And we kind of went from there. It's sometimes you can't say no to everything. Sometimes it's good to just say yes.
You just go ahead and you just like, you know, just throw your hat in the game and just make it happen.
Just jump into the deep end of the pool.
I think that speaks a lot, you know, to audacity and, you know, something that probably resonates with all of us in terms of a lot of people, in my own experience, that you try to just like, you think so much about all the obstacles and all the time and like, okay, what could go wrong or how do I do this? Or I got no money, I got no experience. And, you know, lo and behold, a lot of people, and I heard this a lot through all the conversation I've had so far, don't spend too much time thinking, just do it. And eventually you'll figure it out. You can only do by doing. And yeah. I'm just throwing this to you, Ms. Dion's like, you know, what was the first experience? Like, you know, the episode one and just, you know, okay, when you guys decided like, okay, let's do this and let's make this happen. How did you resonate? How did that come? How did you feel about the first few episodes?
Well, I'll tell you this. You have Sean on one extreme and you have Arlington on the other. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle,
but okay.
When we come together, I mean, we do really work well together, and we started off by doing mock shows. So actually we didn't just
I forgot about that. You're right.
We took our time to really figure out how we want to flow the content. We always had that concept in mind of using that barbershop casual feel. Somehow, I still don't know, I can't remember till this day how they came up with the idea of the lady with the facts to kind of buffer it all,
bring a little
structure to it and balance.
It
worked really well. but we actually did some mock shows to really kind of test the waters first before we started taping. Okay, what kind of equipment we needed. And a lot of people didn't know, I don't think, at first that literally we started off with a laptop and a mic. None of us were in the same city at the time.
Wow.
And we figured out a way to, you know, use a program called Zoom to basically so we could see all of us at the same time and get the energy and the chemistry that we would get when we're all together. And finally, I think, what was it? Maybe after a couple of months of kind of rehearsing it, finding somewhere to host it. I mean, I had to figure out how to put a podcast on iTunes. We had no clue. You said, you figure it out as you go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
It's that is something that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, we live in an age where no matter, bar none, like depending on some very arcane topics, the information to do whatever it is you want to think about is available. Mostly for free. If you're willing to put in the time, the information is there. It's something that, and a lot of people don't take that into account because just like financial wealth, it's something that you build over time. You can't just be an expert from day one. You have to be willing to put in the time. And was that something that you guys were aware, like starting in, like, you know, we're going to put out the best and most awesome, like, you know, we're going to shoot for $1 million on the first episode? Or were you realistic about your expectations?
That's funny.
Sean? I would say we were very realistic in the fact that we really, I mean, for most of our time on air, we've been focusing on the content. It wasn't about, as you said, the likes and the follows. It was really about putting out strong content.
That's precious.
But as you grow now, because as we've grown and we've really taken up, you know, the momentum has been really good for us. That's what everybody wants to know now. So you kind of almost default to the corporate side now, where you're like checking numbers, because everybody that wants to get with us, everybody wants to run ads, everybody wants to be in the show. They're always asking what our numbers are. So it's hard to now, as you grow, to stay even grounded at that point where, like, we're going to just focus on content and not focus on the numbers. Because the first year, like Arlington and Dion said, we just wanted to put out quality shows. And, you know, and we were not even looking at the numbers, to be quite frank. So now you're kind of compelled to look at them a little.
Well, I think in the first year, part of it too was wrapping our head around how to make a podcast. What we had, one of the things we haven't mentioned is that what we had is we have myself, Sean, and Dion on the front end, but then we have a gentleman named Matt that edits the show, and then my wife produces the show.
Canvas Malibu.
Yes, Jack, exactly. The voice. Matt is the voice you hear.
He's got such a radio voice. I'm sorry he's not on, because I want to congratulate him on that. He's got such an amazing radio voice, man.
He's got a crazy voice. But what you had is three people that came out of television. So we knew how to make television shows. We just didn't know how to make a podcast. And we took some of the television knowledge and applied it to a podcast. But we quickly learned on the front end that a podcast is more like a radio show than a TV show. So then we had to change gears. And so, as Dion said, we were practicing and taking our time learning how to make this thing better. So we would do a show, then we would critique the show and implement the changes, then do another show, then critique the show and implement changes and concepts and, you know, just different.
So you're really learning as you go.
Yeah, different tools to make the show function better week after week. And so by doing that, and by staying true to what Sean's initial goal was, which he wanted to make finance something relatable and fun and educational. So by doing those things, it got better.
If I'm just throwing it at Sean on this one, if you look back, let's just say maybe, like, you know, since the humble beginnings to now, how basically, if you're looking basically, you know, if you're looking back into time, what advice would you give, you know, you guys in the beginning, that, you know, better knowledge that you have now? Because you always want to look back and say, okay, I probably would have done this differently, probably would have done this differently. Any lessons of wisdom you've learned so far?
Get along. You know, make sure that you, you know, I think we all have a lot of creative energy, and we all have strong personalities. So finding a common ground was challenging at sometimes, but I think we all would learn, like, sometimes, you know, you got to take one for the team.
Okay. And so is it a room full of egos, or...
Well, is that somebody said somebody's name? Ego? Maybe Arlington Ego? Maybe, yeah. Arlington Ego was in the room. Sean Combs was there all the time. Sean Combs is always there.
Sean Combs?
Sean Combs. Oh, Sean, I like that one. Sean Combs.
Sean Puffy Combs.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's funny. I think what Sean is saying, and I do agree, it's like in a creative process, when you have a team, it's about figuring out the best way to share your creative vision without running over someone else's creative vision, or without undermining their creative vision. So it's, and like Sean was saying, sometimes you have to take one for the team. Sometimes your vision may be good, but that person's vision may be better. Or maybe you can, so you have to go with that. Or sometimes you can bring the two pieces together, you know? So it's a lot of compromise and it's a lot of staying focused again on the goal, which is the goal is to make a great show, because at the end, it's one name, two black guys with good credit, and it's the show. People aren't, it doesn't matter, like they say, right? If you score all the points and you lose the game, you still lost.
You still lost. Yeah. A loss is a loss. It has to be a collaborative effort.
When you're younger, you hear these bands breaking up, New Edition broke up. You're like, how does this happen? How does it happen? We kind of understand. And just on a positive note, though, we've stayed together. We, you know, not to say anything, but we've just learned how, you know, I've learned how to work with your friends that are all extremely bright, and how to, everybody can get, you know, can add value to something. So, yeah, it's been a
It's not just one-sided. It's not just one team, one person effort. You know?
Exactly. No, when I first started, I was like, I got this. Here's what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And then after learning, like, you know, you don't got it, Sean. You got to listen to other people too, because they all have great ideas.
Just throwing a question to Ms. Dion this time around. What have been, if you call them like, you know, the biggest challenges so far into growing again? We're always, because Sean mentioned that a little bit earlier about trying to, you know, trying to grow, trying to remain consistent, but also trying to remain authentic and true to yourself. How do you balance those challenges?
It's actually a good question, because as we are growing now, it's a great that we're getting fan mail, which is wonderful. And we're also getting a lot of opportunities now coming our way, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really being able to weed out and figure out what's in alignment with our vision and goal for the show. So it's really trying to be selective of what really, you know, is authentic to who we are. So that's a challenge. And just kind of sifting through it all, you know, you don't want to alienate those who, you know, love and support your show, but we realize at the same time, we can't be everything to everyone. We can't say yes to everything. So I think that's an interesting challenge for us, you know, figuring out with all these different exciting things that come along that, you know, is it really right for two black guys? You know, trying to be staying true to the brand, right?
How about you, Sean? What would you say would be a big challenge?
Right. I mean, to me, the challenge, and this has always been for me in Business 101, is just I'm about growth. You know, I'm really, you know, strongly goal oriented and about growth. And I want us to reach everybody in the world to know about credit and understand how it works. And I want two black guys to be a household name, and I want everybody to get our message, you know? So to me, you know, when Arlington always keeps me grounded, you know, he says famous line, you got a date.
One more time for the back. Arlington keeps you grounded?
Yeah, you got a date before you get married. You got a date before you get married. You got a date. I mean, just date a little, Sean, wedding. So, like, to me, every opportunity, I'm trying to find the best angle how to exploit, how to.
See how my voice is super deep there? I started out high a couple questions ago, and now it's super deep.
Every opportunity, you know, I'm trying to find the best angle how to make it work. Then I can tell Dion, and Dion just eggs me like, yeah, let's do it. And Arlen's just like, hey, slow your roll. So, yeah, the hardest challenge for me is, like, is figuring out navigating, because everything has its course, and figuring out what is our best course, who should we work with, who should we not work with, which direction should we go. So it's, you know, a lot of it is trial and error, and, you know, listen to people, because now people come on that want to come on board with us. Most of the time it's on a corporate setting, and you see everybody has their hidden agenda. Uh-huh. So it's really trying to figure out what's the best course of action, and really trying not to make any mistakes along the way. I think that's my greatest challenge. I'm always been have this inner game going on in my head. I don't even know what the score is, but somebody's losing, somebody's winning. I just can't figure out who. But,
but that's a good one. That's a really good one. But what I want to throw you guys as well is the fact that, and I've never hidden this because I talk about it all the time. I share as much as I can. I listen to all these episodes. One thing that really resonates seriously is the if I could say, the human-centered aspect of what you guys put out, because those are very short shows, except from the really, like, you know, long one, like the one for Stephen Hightower was a longer show, obviously. but it was definitely worth it. It was a gem. It was definitely a gem because the gentleman definitely has a lot. So far, man, there's so many because I've listened so far. Real Estate was one. Rent versus Buy. Definitely one. I enjoy, because for me personally, because I always tried, because I went from the chapter of renting, then we got married, had the kid, bought the house, and then we're like, okay, how would we get a set? Because my wife was always curious about it, how would we go about getting a second property? Or like, you know, probably if we like bought the house and went back to renting, rented the house, a bunch of stuff that you ask yourself, obviously, and then sometimes it becomes so intimidating, you don't even think about it ever again. And then I listen to episodes like you guys, and then you simplify it. Like, you don't, it's definitely something you have to do your homework on. That's what I got away from it. But it's totally accessible to everybody. It's not, like I said, it's not a dark art. You just have to be willing to put in the knowledge and the work. You know?
Dark arts.
And that's always something that resonates with every episode, which is something that, you know, that I believe that people should really respond, well, you know, should really take a second to understand that, you know, financial literacy is primary, especially in this day and age, where basically the institutions and the system are trying to keep you down. And basically, you know, again, there's the game is rigged against you. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. That's how I see it, you know. But a lot of good episodes. You know, a really good one? The totally deciphering 444. I really enjoyed that one.
That's funny.
I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed that one. And I said this already. Somebody needs to work on their flow. But I'm not saying who. I'm not saying who. I'm not saying who. But I just thought I'd throw it in there. But it's all love. It's all love in here.
I was really just trying to make a point. I'm glad you got the message there, Olivier, that, you know, I was trying to break the stereotype that all black people just don't sing and dance. Like, if you really wanted to flow, I could have pulled it out. But I was just trying to break the stereotype with that show. You know,
you broke it, bro.
I broke it.
You broke it for sure.
But it's definitely with the catalog of shows I've worked so far. It's been a very, very good, consistent. In that point, from my own personal perspective, it's been a very consistent flow of production and content. So in that sense, you guys are definitely, you know, staying true to your course. And in terms of, you know, favorite shows, I definitely see that everybody has a little something they can find in there. Whatever your intention for your own, you know, financial path, you know, it's important. It's important to actually take into account that you have it within you to learn. And what type of feedback that you guys get, you know, generally, like, you know, okay, do you have a particular demographic, you know, in terms of your response? Ms. Dion, like, you know, what type of fan mail do you get exactly?
Well, I will say this, it's quite diverse, whether it's a young person who's buying their first investment property to a mom out in Kansas who, you know, is trying to get her credit back in order. It's across the board in terms of nationality and ethnicity, age group. We have a gentleman who is now actually teaching with us. So he was a podcast fan who's now become an instructor or volunteer in our classroom. And we now call him Mr. 850. And he's a West Indian, you know, middle man, retired, who loves our show, you know? So it really is across the board, which is great. We actually had a young man come in and sit in on a podcast taping. And he was in his 20s, young entrepreneur.
Okay.
Had just moved from, was it Haiti as well? No, from Nigeria. So yeah, it's great to see how diverse our audience is in age, in ethnicity, income, in stage in life, you know? It's really great.
Yeah. This is something that Sean mentioned. I don't remember which episode, but a little known tidbit. So we're just talking about practical tips, okay? A lot of people, when you talk about, okay, trying to save, trying to just like, you know, trying to build, you know, financial legacy, you know, because we talk a lot about generational wealth. You guys talk about a lot about that one. See, I listen. But When we talk about you know, building wealth and building a legacy of being this being a marathon, not a sprint, the little concept of you can learn to live without, that's something that keeps a lot of people just flies over people's heads. Is that something that's still happening? A lot of people kind of think like, okay, yeah, but you know, I have to pay this, but I have to pay that. You realize that a little $10 here and a little $5 there goes a long way. Am I mistaken?
No, you're absolutely right. You can learn to live without. It's the small sacrifices that'll give you the large gains. And, you know, as you know, truth be told, I'm still learning to live without. I still sacrifice all the time, you know, and it creates a discipline. You know, when I was flipping properties, I purposely didn't furnish my house, you know, because I didn't want to get comfortable. I wanted to keep that hunger in me. And I think every now and then you always need to get yourself to a point where you have to push yourself and sacrifice something for the betterment of yourself to keep that discipline. You know, like I recently started doing yoga, and that just trying to get these moves, and everybody around me to me looks like they're moving like swans, is like that new challenge in my head. I have to get this, you know. So you have to focus and challenge yourself and push yourself and your mind and your body and your spirit to a next level. That's how you're going to achieve wealth and success and happiness. And even Arnold and I were talking about it today, you know, not to get too deep into things, but really success is really just defined by happiness, and money really just will help find that happiness for you. Cause you know, my good friend of ours in 20 years says, you know, Sean, I just want to travel. And you know, it's more important to me than money, more important than anything else. And really, so the question is, how do we allow his financial situation to allow him to travel? Simple. It's not about how much money he has in the bank. It's like, you know, I just want to travel.
And what is success to you? How do you reach your why? You know, your thing?
Being on your show, man. Come on. This is success right here. Shoot. I'm on a weekend. The awesome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it.
This is the pinnacle right here, dude.
But seriously, one thing I wanted to throw, and this is something that I really thought about today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
In terms of really in preparing for the show, and that's one question that just flew by my mind, because I really run with the most random ideas in my head. And Arlington, I'm going to throw it to you. Why is it that, you know, in terms of when someone is, you know, on setting themselves on a path towards success and financial freedom, why is it that inevitably you will have naysayers and distractors, and people are just like trying, like, you know, she's too important. Like, you know, he's trying to just like separate us. We'll just call them haters. That's inevitable. And how do we contend with these people? Because that happens, you know, when these are close, you know, friends or family relatives, you know, they become toxic to your journey. How do you wrestle with that?
Cut them off. I believe, like, the reason why Sean and I had all those talks is because we had a relationship. Like I said, we had the same goals. We just may have had a different approach. And so we found, I would say, comfort in being able to talk to each other, because I could say, hey, this is what's going on in my world. I'm trying to buy this house and launch this business. And he could say the same about what he's doing, because we realized in our friendship, we wanted to see each other win, right? Uh-huh. So I want to see you win. So if you're telling me this is what you're trying to do, I'm supporting you. And like they say in life, if your inner circle isn't supporting you, get a new circle. Don't just sit in that circle and let them drag you down. And, you know what I mean? Your group needs to uplift you, because we don't all know the answers. And that's what Sean and I went through. That's why he might say to me, you know, you can go to your real estate agent and say this. And then I'd go bounce it off another friend of mine who was in real estate. Then I'd come back and be like, no, you can't actually say that. You can say this. And then he might take it and use it. Or he, you know what I mean? So we were lifting each other up because we wanted to see each other win. And if he won, then I learned through what he did. And if I won, he learned through what I did. So I'm saying, if you have haters in your core, dump them, because you have one life and it's too short to have naysayers in your circle. Your circle needs to lift you up.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's powerful. That's powerful, because it is something that you wrestle with, and there's something that, you know, you have to admit to yourself that sometimes maybe somebody doesn't have the same vision, doesn't have the same mindset, yeah. And it's okay. You know, some people just want to be, you know, in their little bubble, and yeah. It's something that I encounter, whether in terms of, you know, personal taste or values or just overall vision towards your own financial freedom or financial wealth. And a lot of people are just not in that mindset. And sometimes you wrestle with that, because these are people that you care about. These are people who are, you know, the part of your life. And then you have to admit to yourself that these are toxic. This is a sort of self-toxicity, and they cannot help you. You know,
they say if you're going to be successful, you have to align yourself with like-minded individuals. And that doesn't mean people that think exactly like you think. One of the reasons Sean and I talk so much is because I know he has a different approach than I do. So I want to hear what he would do and see if it works against what, it'll offset or change what I would do, and vice versa. But at the end of the day, we were going towards a goal of financial independence, financial success, entrepreneurism, defining our own workspace, life space, you know what I mean? Figuring these things out. So yeah, if your group isn't thinking like you, and in the process, we cut people off. We can both say in the process, there are people that started out with us that are not here. Yeah, because you get to that point, like how much of this am I going to take? Like, I'm trying to move this way, and every time I call dude's just like, why are you doing that? You know, that kind of conversation. Why do you want to do that? What's wrong with just what you have now? You don't need that. You want someone to say, hey, yeah, that sounds great. Where is that? How do you do it? You know what? I know someone that might be able to help. That's what you want.
You need to surround yourself with someone who builds you up. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'm taking notes here. I swear to God, I'm taking notes. Want to throw one past Ms. Dion this time.
Yes.
Again, still in preparation for the episode. And I realized something, and this is just, again, with, you know, when success and, you know, being a mindset, first and foremost, not just about, you know, the size of your bank account, but it's also a mindset. And just want to get your touch on this in terms of, why is it that the term or the assumption of wealth sometimes puts people off, in terms of, like you're saying, it's kind of taboo. You hear the word wealthy and it's like, okay, what's this problem? You know, it's like, why is it that, you know, everybody, because the thing is, I realize that successful people want to see you succeed. Okay. But quote unquote, poor people, for some reason, tell you like, you know, don't like, slow your roll, you know, stay in your lane, you know, just stay proper. You're good. Why is it that the concept of being wealthy, like Sean puts it a lot, you know, about generational wealth, building wealth as a legacy, like, you know, leaving, you know, wealth for your children and everything. Why is that concept, like, you know, just so awkward and so frightening to some people? When you think that, you know, who said it? And I read this from Rev Run of Run DMC. He said, like, you know, it's hard to help poor people when you're one of them. You know? I just wanted you to touch on that, Ms. Dion, if possible.
Funny you should say that. I actually just read a quote today that people who are doing better than you aren't going to criticize you. It's the ones that aren't doing so well. They're going to try and pull you down. So with regards to wealth and why is it such a dirty word? A lot of it is conditioning, just whether it's family, whether it's just societal, that for some reason, oh, he's rich, he's out of touch, or he had a silver spoon. There's something, I'm not sure why, but there's this derogatory or negative connotation around the thought of thinking about money or being wealthy. Mm-hmm. And it is just about getting to the root, as you said before, and start talking to, you know, generations at a younger stage in their lives. It's about planting the seed that one thing, wealth can look like whatever it is for you, whether it's health. I mean, health is wealth for some people. You know, there's not even one definition of wealth, for one. And two, when you think about wealth and how that can have rippling effects for generations to come, if you just start, start today, that you can change the life of whether it's your children, your grandchildren, and so on. Just taking a more positive, we actually did a show, as you know, about Black Power, Money Power. You know, uh-huh. We're not leaving wealth behind for our children in terms of our demographic, you know? And we need to take notes from the other, you know,
the group.
Groups, because we shouldn't be leaving our kids in a negative. You know, it's really about changing, like you said, the mindset that it's not a bad thing by actually thinking from a wealth or expansive mindset. You're only helping generations, family units, communities. It just changes everything. So I guess that's my take on it.
Sean, you want to touch on that in terms of why the term or the entire concept, the assumption of wealth is always so noted with a little bit of distance or condescension? Like, okay, what is the big deal? Like, you know, why is everybody trying to just, like, you know, what is it about wealth? Like, you know, because again, you would think that most people would want to actually, you know, accede to that level of, you know, independence, comfort, you know, not going to use the word privilege, but again, comfort, because in my concept, wealth also gives you choices and opportunities. And that is something that I believe that everybody would want. But you always get that comment of, like, you know, connotation of, like, distance and condescension. Where does that come from?
Well, I'll tell you a story. When I was young, I was probably like 9 or 10. And, you know, I always had a wealth mindset. I knew I was going to be successful. I knew I was going to be wealthy, even though I grew up in government housing with a single mother. I just had it in me and I just felt it from young. And I remember, you know, one Christmas I was sitting with I would always go to my aunt's house, and my aunt's husband was my godfather, and then my cousins. And the topic came up, you know, and I told everybody at the table, yes, I'm going to be rich. I didn't know how, I didn't know what, but I just knew I was going to be rich. And my godfather sat there and he said, "What makes you think you're going to be rich? You'll never do it. This is not how it works in this. This is not how it works. You know, unless you're going to be a famous basketball player or hockey player, there's no way it's happening." And then every year, the running joke, he would say to me, "Are you a millionaire yet? Are you a millionaire yet?" And, you know, he passed away in 2002, actually. And I still, you know, I never really knew, was he saying this to motivate me, or is he saying it just because he didn't believe it was possible? My heart would like to say it was to motivate me, but my mind was probably thinking that it was impossible, because he worked as an orderly, and he was one of those guys that worked a job that he didn't like. He just worked it to support his family. So I can't imagine how the state of mind transforms when you're doing a job for 30 plus years, which he did, going somewhere you don't want to be. You're literally cleaning other people's crap that you don't want to do. There's nothing motivating you to do this job, but you're just doing it to put food on the table for your family. How does one's mind change over time? How does one see optimism and hope and see that these things can be achieved? So I think most people may come from that type of background where they have positioned themselves. And I'm not even blaming society and this and that. In most cases, you have positioned yourself to be in a situation that you choose to stay in. And because of that, it creates this bitterness, and it creates like anything. Like Arlen and I have been talking a lot about recently, the power of the mind, how the mind can heal, you know? So if you're going somewhere, you don't want to be there, you don't like to be there, and then somebody's coming to you and telling you how great life can be and how you can achieve all these things, you don't want to hear that because your life is not there. And if you don't have the mind or the courage to change that self being, that environment around you, because it's not easy. The hardest thing to do in life is change. Try brushing your teeth in the middle of the day versus the morning. You know, try changing your routine. It's hard to change your routine. So if you're trying to tell somebody, hey, to achieve wealth, achieve happiness, you have to change your routine. For some people, it's not an easy task. And for my godfather, it probably was an easy task. And that was him just venting, you know? So, yeah, I think wealth is a mindset and is an action as well.
You have to put in the time, but you also have to put in the thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is very powerful. See, that's very powerful. You also have to. So you always do have a choice. There's no fatality there. You have to choose.
You looking for a partner on Awaken the Opposite, man? we can knock this out.
He's Let's jumping make it happen. Arlington.
There's more. I can use all the help I can get. Trust me, because I will get really in some gems here. But it's true. It's true because I believe, and you know, I really want to touch on this. Has it been challenging with the kids? Because again, we're really talking, as you guys do a lot of teaching, you guys do a lot of, you know, mentoring. And then in terms of, you know, the response, or what has been, is there a common denominator between the kids that, you know, that you meet and that, you know, you support and that, you know, you give a lot of information to in terms of your workshops and groups? What's the difference between their mentality right now, this generation of 2018 versus ours? You know, because I'm 36, you know, I have a particular mentality about, you know, being conservative and, like, you know, just take your time and, you know, just, you know, pay it if you can't afford it, you know, stick to your little circle. But what is it that you see, like, from the kids in terms of, like, what are they asking? What are they thinking about? What gets them going?
Dion, you want to answer that?
Anyone.
Go with it, Sean.
Well, these kids are about the now generation. There's no, like, hey, let's build this plan in 5 years. What? 5 years? In 5 years, they feel they'll be old and gray. So there's no, they want things now. They have little patience. And I think they don't have a lot of, as great social skills. I've gone and see kids going out. I watch kids from, I've been to restaurants, see a bunch of kids sitting at a restaurant, and none of them are talking to you. They're just all on their phone. One thing I like about them compared to our generation, they're very entrepreneurial spirit. Like, when we graduate from college, like, which company are you going to work for? What company's hiring you? These kids are all like, sure. I want to work for myself. I want to work for myself. I'm going to create this. I'm going to create that. So I like that mentality, but I just think, they're not really keen on listening to us old school people trying to school them a little, because they feel like, you know, we're outdated. We're the Atari.
We're outdated.
Yeah, we're outdated.
Yeah, that's true.
He actually said Atari and actually related to what he said. Oh boy.
Sean played Pong.
Pac-Man.
Well, listen. Arlington played marbles, okay? That was his game. That was, there's no Atari, no PlayStation. They're trying to get in a hole. That was just fun.
By the time the computer came along, I was 50 already.
So, Ms. Dion, if I hear Sean correctly, we're having a delicate balance of trying to, you know, give them the old school tactics for a new school mentality. You know, just so there's a lot of wrestling going on there.
You know what? I have to say, yes, to a certain extent, but at the same time, they are very receptive, and I think it has a lot to do with the way we present the program. So one thing before we even talk about personal finance, we ask them in the very first class, what are your goals? So we actually have them put pen to paper. And what success can look like, whatever it looks like for you, right? So by the time we start talking about credit and budgeting and investing, you know, they're starting to see how it relates to them. So that's how we really get them invested in the curriculum. So by the time the program is over, and it's a 12-week program, because as we talked about, it's about creating habits, changing a mindset. By the time we get to the end of the program, we actually revisit those goals. And then we ask them, so how would you take what you've learned in terms of these principles and apply them to your goals? So by the time they leave the program, they actually have their little blueprint, their financial game plan tailored for them. So that's one aspect of how we get them engaged. And then, of course, we do try to make it fun. And then Sean, you know, he does use that same straight talk strategic approach and try to make it really practical and relatable for them. And that's why I do find that they are quite receptive to the information. I mean, there's times where you'll walk into a classroom and I mean, they're howling. We're having such a good time. You would never think we're talking about personal finance. So, yes, sometimes they're like, okay, old fogey. But at the same time, we have found a way to make it, again, accessible, engaging, and informative, as well as fun.
Can I add something in here?
What we're here for.
Which that, like, I'm not in the classes with Dion and Sean, but I deal with a lot of my staff that tends to be under 30, really in that like 26, 22 to 26 pocket. And I think the funny thing is you have to try to make the connection to young people that there's nothing really new under the sun. Even though the system may change, like you guys are using computers or calculators versus an abacus, you're still adding numbers. And numbers...
A what?
An abacus.
You are old school, brother.
An abacus.
You just don't know what it is.
An abacus. You count the numbers by sliding it across. They use it in the ancient Roman days. But the point is, you're trying to show them that everything that it's really nothing new under the sun, and that the approaches to success, the approaches to a solid financial life, are the same. They're really the same. You may have slight tweaks, but the approaches are the same. And I think once you can get them to see that, then they're more open, and you make it applicable to their lives, then they become more like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay. So as long as you make it accessible, and as long as you make it something that they can relate to, and just, again, demystify it, and that's where you get them.
Yeah, that's when you start to see it. You know, I've taken some of my staff through like a budget. Just a budget. Like, okay, you don't think you make enough money? Okay, well, have you made a budget? No. Well, then how do you know you don't make enough money? Well, if I just had two jobs, I'd make more money. And I said to one guy, you know why most people that win the lottery go broke in a year? It's not because they don't have enough money. It's because they don't know how to budget the money they have. So they just spend and they turn around and they're like, what happened to the million? I'm like, but if you write it out, you can see what you're making, and then you can see where you can save, and then you can see you're actually making enough money. It's just the choices you're making with that money.
But there's so much work. I mean, you got to put down numbers and put on a spreadsheet, and you have to calculate it, and then you have to allocate, you know, savings versus expenditures and then obligations versus,
a taco truck 4 days a week for $15 lunches, and then you turn around and you're like, I don't have money for gas. It's no mystery what happened to the money. You know? So it's those kinds of simple things you have to sometimes share with younger people.
It's always the same thing. Back in that period when I was doing all that reading, because then, you know, from that book, I went to another book by Ben Stein. He's like, you know, How to Ruin Your Financial Life. And then I read Kiyosaki. And then I just like, you just go down the rabbit hole of like, you know, financial, personal finance. Of course, you read Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, all that stuff. And you realize it's always the same things coming back, you know, budget. Yes. Don't spend more than you're making. You know, keep your debts really low and then find a way to have extra income, like, you know, side jobs. And then, like, you know, again, automate. It's like very simple concepts. I'm not there yet, obviously, because, again, between that period and then I had a peak and then I went down because life took over. We all make mistakes, obviously. But it's all about, you know, keeping the proper mindset. Like Sean said, you know, it's just like, you know, making sure that you're in the right mindset, on the right path, and making the right decisions, because this is a marathon, not a sprint, you know. And you know,
that's what makes the show good. I think that's what makes Two Black Guys a very relatable show, because from the beginning, we decided that the goal is not to say we have all the answers. It's to put out there what we know. And the goal is not to say we are the world's greatest financial successors. It's to say we're working on it. Just like you're working on it, we're working on it. Just like you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Just like you're thinking about it, we're thinking about it. We just may be a little older, perhaps, have had a little, some more experiences. And so we're going to share those with you. And then you take from it what you need.
Warts and all.
Yeah, warts and all. Exactly, warts and all.
Warts and all. Man. And it's has generally been, you know, a very, very staple, a large staple in the program. From my own personal experience, at least, is just I keep getting every single time, you know, it's the same. It's like sitting down with your friends. It's like hearing them, okay, what are these two going to fight about? It's like, you know, are they going to talk about the Range Rover? But so, as you can see, I'm a very committed follower. Like, you know, I follow all the little tidbits, and I really enjoy it. It's definitely something that a lot of people, you know, again, everybody has their own little nuggets that they can get from that. And it's like Dion said, you know, it's not sometimes, you know, it's not for everybody. You know, you'd rather listen to this podcast than this other podcast, but hey, this is us, this is what we do. And you know what? If you like it, fine. If you don't, you know, it's okay. But, you know, do you, and peace, love, and happiness. Not a problem.
Yeah. But you can never make something that satisfies everybody.
No. You have to learn to be accepting that, you know, trying to be perfect. You can't do that.
Yeah. But,
you know, we're probably reaching up on top of the hour, guys. I don't want to keep you guys too late, but it's been a genuine pleasure to have you guys on. I know we could have, like, you know, gone into oblivion into this, the conversation. There's so much I want to touch on, but, you know, I want to close off because I'm all about, you know, practical tips and stuff. If you could leave, I'm just going to throw everybody the floor here. One practical tip that people can apply today, you know, again, about the slow process towards financial freedom. If we're going to throw it to Ms. Dion, ladies first, you know, one practical tip we can give to anybody, whatever your generation, whatever your age, whatever, that somebody can apply today that can make that really surprising difference. What would it be?
Absolutely. You said ladies first, and I'm going to say pay yourself.
Okay.
Pay yourself first, whether it's 10%, 5%, but every paycheck, pay yourself first. And as Sean would say, you'll adjust. You'll learn to live without. But that little increment every 2 weeks or every week, every month, however you get paid, can make the world of difference, especially if the younger you start, compounding interest is on your side. Pay yourself first.
Nice. Actually, really, like in the beginning.
Wow,
one of the things,
here we go. She just took mine. Okay.
Come on now.
Come on, Sean. I'm sure you got plenty of one.
I'll let the older, wiser one go next.
I'll go next. I'll give Sean more time to think of an answer.
He knows me too well.
I would say that people need to keep in mind wealth and financial freedom are gained through real estate and the stock market. And it's never too early to get involved in those two things. Because at the end of the day, the wealthiest people in this in this country and other countries, they own significant amounts of real estate and they own a significant interest in the stock market in their country. And that's where you're really going to grow the money that you're bringing in. So look into that. I think too many times we act like those things are irrelevant. I think in our community, we focus on the real estate piece, but we ignore the stock market piece. And those two things are very, very important. Not one more than the other.
Okay, writing down. Okay, good. So many gems. Okay, now the spotlight is on him, Mr.
All right, Sean. We've given you a week to come up with something.
And the drum roll is, I would say, you choose life. Don't let life choose you.
Okay.
Meaning, we all are destined for success, and don't be scared of success. Fight for your life that you choose to live, because it's waiting there for you if you just go out there and get it.
That simple.
Simple. Done. Drop the mic.
Mic drop. We need to get a sound effect for that, Sean. You got to get a mic drop sound effect. Like,
that's what we do, man. That's what we're called. Two black guys has a good credit. And every now and then we got the lady with the facts. So we
yeah,
do.
We got to get a mic drop sound effect. Boom.
Have we awakened, Olivier?
Oh man! Oh man! The awesome is so woken right now. It's amazing.
You gotta stop letting him tear up your name. Because
I know we're all like biting our tongues here.
Sometimes you just go, It's so funny
because I don't even get hung up about it. I don't even get hung up about it anymore because sometimes, you know, you fly through the airport and, you know, again, whether you're going through the U.S. or, you know, depending on whether the person is Francophone or Canada or whatever, is like, is it Olivier? Is it Olivier? Like, dude, just say Oliver. Just like, just simplify your life, you know, whatever goes. It's not a problem. Like, you know, just let me through.
All right, let me tell you, if this interview goes 10 minutes longer, he's going to start calling you Oliver.
I fight to get it out there, right? So I you know, and naturally I want to say, you know, Oliver.
No, but you know, even close family, it's a lot easier for me. Like, you know, if you're mostly Anglophone, you want to say my name. I just simplify your life and don't even get hung up about it. You want to say Oliver, just say Oliver. You know, just like, you know, if you want to say Olivier or Olivier, it's totally fine. I'm not that hung up about it. Don't worry. Right. All courtesy aside, it's just, you know, it's just great. Don't worry, guys. But you know what? It's been a tremendous honor and a privilege. I can't thank you guys enough for the warmth, the wisdom, the patience, and the all-around genuine awesomeness of being on the show. I can't thank you enough. Again, I'm just really, really, really happy that we actually made this happen. It's been a long time coming. So again, my thanks and hats off to Dion for coordinating everything, and you know, all of you guys for just like showing up.
Dion,
my absolute pleasure.
It's been a trip, guys. Thank you so much. And with everything, again, I can only wish you a terrific evening. I'll definitely let you guys know. You know, when the episode goes live, guys. They are two black guys with good credit, so I'll definitely link all the all the necessary information.
No.
But
tonight we were three black guys with good credit.
Oh, you're such a genuine gentleman. Oh, thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
I got my brother, but I'm putting you in that category. I hope you live up to the reputation.
Oh, I'll earn it. You know, I'll definitely earn it. Definitely. With all respects and genuine thanks, guys. Thank you so much. It's been really a privilege. And definitely have you guys yourself a terrific evening. And definitely I'll link up all the necessary links into the podcast episode. And definitely we'll meet you up on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and the iTunes. Give them a like. They're definitely worth it. It's definitely worth your financial wisdom and freedom. So I am your host for the day. And have you guys a terrific evening, right? See you guys at the next episode. Stay awesome.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you, Olivier.
Hi.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.